Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In the Garden of Gethsemane, after Jesus had settled the matter with his Father about what was going to happen, he returned to his three sleeping disciples, Peter, James, and John. After the hours of agony Jesus experienced in the garden, Jesus was left serene and calm. He took the tired men back to the other disciples. They all then saw that in the distance, a great crowd of temple priests and guards, Roman soldiers, as well as Judas, were coming toward them. It was in the dead of night, and some were carrying torches and clubs. During the last year of Jesus' ministry, the hostility of the Jewish leaders toward him had increased greatly. They were determined to get rid of Jesus by having him killed, and for some time, the leaders had been trying many ways to get Jesus to do or say something worthy of the death penalty. At the Feast of Tabernacles, 6 months earlier, they had sent some of the temple guards to arrest Jesus while he was teaching in the temple. But the guards returned without him, saying to the chief priests that no one spoke as Jesus did. This final attempt to capture Jesus through Judas' betrayal was not to go wrong. The chief priests and rulers couldn't count on their own countrymen not to cave in again. To prevent this, and at the same time deal with any resistance by Jesus' followers, the Jewish leaders had prevailed on Pilate to provide more than 100 soldiers under a chief captain to follow the temple guards as reserves.
Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me.
What's going on here? What's all the commotion?
James, the master, his face, his bearing. No longer does he faint and stagger from exhaustion. He's calm and serene like a true king.
It's a mob. They carry swords and staves, weapons of all kinds. They're coming. The master, he advances to meet them.
Whom seek ye?
Jesus of Nazareth.
I am he.
Judas is there.
Whom seek ye?
Jesus of Nazareth.
I have already told you that I am he. If therefore it is I whom ye seek, let these 11 go their way.
Hail, Master.
Friend, wherefore art thou come? Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?
Guards, do your duty! Lay hand on Jesus before he escapes! Bring the cords to bind his hands!
His hands, his precious hands that have ever been employed in doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, how can it be?
Surely the master will not suffer himself to be taken as a common thief. Why doesn't he use the same power to escape that he used in his ministry of doing good?
Why doesn't he save himself and us?
Here, sir, is the cord.
Well, bind his hands. Tightly!
Certainly he will not permit himself to be captured by such a mob as this. Else I would not have...
Did you speak to me, sir?
Just thinking.
They are actually binding his hands. I must protect the master.
Permit me this one favor.
My ear. It's back on again. With just a touch, he healed my ear.
Peter, put up again thy sword into its place. For all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall give me more than 12 legions of angels?
The official dignity of the Israelite leaders has not prevented them from joining in the pursuit of Jesus. His arrest is too important a matter to be trusted to subordinates. The wily temple priests and elders have joined the temple police and the rabble in following Judas to Gethsemane. What a company for these dignitaries to unite with. A mob eager for excitement. Turning to the dignitaries, Jesus fixes upon them his searching glance.
You come out against me with swords and staves as you would against a thief or a robber. Day by day I sat teaching in the temple. You had every opportunity of laying your hands upon me, and you did nothing. The night is better suited to your work. This is your hour, and the power of darkness.
The master is going to let them arrest him. Oh, it is humiliating. Why is he letting them offend us? I suggest that we save ourselves, run for our lives.
Come on.
Behold, the hour is now come when my disciples have scattered, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone. My Father is with me.
Throughout the Old Testament, the promise of a Messiah was clearly given. This prophecy was made hundreds and sometimes thousands of years before Jesus Christ was born. He had been the only person to walk this earth and fulfill them. From Genesis to Malachi, in the Old Testament of the Bible, there are over 300 prophecies detailing the coming of the Anointed One. Prophecies of where the Messiah would be born and who would be his ancestors are detailed, yet also the terrible things that would happen to him regarding his betrayal, arrest, and illegal trial. Although King David wrote Psalm 22, a 1,000 years before Jesus' birth, some of the verses are very clear about Jesus' crucifixion. Isaiah 53 is the messianic prophecy known as the Suffering Servant, and it tells of the death of the Messiah for the sins of his people. Judas Iscariot, Jesus' betrayer, had been following Jesus for 3 years as a disciple. He'd finally decided that if Jesus wasn't going to declare himself as King of the Jews and set up a kingdom, there was no point in following him any longer. In Judas' thinking, Jesus didn't act like a king or gather people around him to serve him, so Judas decided to go to the chief priests and agree to betray his master for money. In Psalm 41 it says, "Even my best friend, the one I trusted most, the one who shared my food, has turned against me." For Judas to identify Jesus by kissing him in the semi-darkness of the garden was the height of pretense. A kiss was a sign of affection, loyalty, and love. Judas didn't love Jesus. His kiss was a sign that he mocked him instead. The Roman Empire comprised of many nations that they'd conquered. For the most part, the Romans let each nation continue to manage their own internal affairs unless they proved themselves to be incapable of doing so. The Jewish rulers and leaders claimed that they'd be considered by the Romans to have lost control of the Jews if they didn't stop the crowds of people flocking to hear Jesus. Not once is it recorded that the Roman soldiers questioned Jesus as to his peaceful mass rallies or checked to see that he was speaking against Rome. The soldiers were free to stand and listen to Jesus and decide for themselves that if what he was saying was trying to create a kingdom for himself. Just before the Lord Jesus and his 11 disciples left the upper room after the Lord's Supper, Jesus told them that they would need a sword, meaning a spiritual sword, for all the spiritual battles that they'd soon be fighting. But the disciples failed to understand what Jesus meant, and they thought instead that he was going to overcome his enemies using ordinary weapons. They showed Jesus the two swords that they had with them. Jesus was disappointed that the meaning he intended had been lost, and so closed the subject. As the arrest warrant for Jesus was a Jewish one, the temple officers would probably have been in front of the crowd while the soldiers who supported them as reserves been further back in the procession. On Jesus announcing to the Jewish leaders that yes, indeed, he was the one they were looking for, what the chief priests had feared actually happened. There was something in the words or bearing of Jesus that awed the temple officers. They were panic-stricken and fell backward onto the ground. On their rallying, impetuous Peter drew his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. On this evidence of resistance, the Roman captain and soldiers came forward and with the assistance of the Jewish officers bound Jesus. Jesus had no word of blame or censure for the Roman officers or soldiers who followed their sworn duty to support the civil authorities. His sharp words of reproach, however, were spoken to the chief priests, elders, and captains of the temple for not having attempted his arrest while he was teaching openly in the temple. The plan of these chief priests of having Jesus arrested at night was to avoid any supporters of Jesus from being there. Under Jewish law, it was illegal and improper for the judges on a case to accompany the officers of the law and take part themselves in an arrest. Even in this trying hour, the concern of Jesus was more for others than for himself. He healed the ear of Malchus, and he requested that his disciples might be allowed to leave. The disciples were panic-stricken, probably on account of the vigorous action by the officers and soldiers after Peter's assault with his sword. The disciples all left Jesus and fled. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus had predicted to his disciples that they would all desert him, and just 25 verses later, it's recorded that they did. After all the wonderful miracles Jesus had done for the people in need, It was sad that Jesus now suffered the worst time of his earthly life alone, apart from his Father. Yet such was one of the greatest proofs that Jesus rose from the dead. If Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, no one would ever have heard from these disciples again. Christianity would have ended right there. In the following 8 to 9 hours after his arrest, Jesus went through 6 illegal trials, 3 religious and 3 civil. Each one was illegal because they all broke different sections of Jewish law. Jesus was first taken to the house of Annas, the high priest. Annas had been the high priest from AD 6 to AD 15, and yet was so-called high priest for the rest of his life. He was removed by the Romans, but he still controlled everything behind the scenes. 5 of his sons succeeded him as high priest. He was father-in-law of Caiaphas, the ruling high priest who was in office at the time of Jesus' ministry. So it wasn't surprising that the temple guards took Jesus to Annas' house first. He really was the boss. Annas had a particular grudge against Jesus. Twice Jesus had cleansed the temple of the money changers and sellers of animals for sacrifice. This meant a loss of revenue for Annas. Jesus said that the temple priests were thieves because they charge excessively large profits on items for sale in the temple. Annas and Caiaphas had held many meetings involving the ruling Jewish council called the Sanhedrin. They'd already predetermined that Jesus should die. They just didn't have any charges against him. Most of the judges from the Sanhedrin were legally disqualified to try Jesus. They were known enemies of Jesus. Jewish law required that they disqualify themselves so that he could be tried by impartial judges. At the first trial before Annas, Annas wanted to know Jesus' intentions. This first trial was illegal because Jesus was interrogated without being charged with anything, and Annas had no right to interrogate him anyway. It was against the law to question someone at night, and it was also unlawful to strike the prisoner while he was being interrogated. The next trial was before Caiaphas at his palace. He was the current high priest and Annas' son-in-law. Caiaphas sought to find some kind of charge that they could bring against Jesus. In other words, what can we find wrong with him? No one had brought a formal charge of any crime prior to his arrest. This trial was illegal for a variety of reasons. It was also against the law to have false witnesses. Plus, it too was held at night. The law also stated that no trial could be held in any place other than the council chamber in the temple. And the high priest was like a judge. They were not to accuse the one on trial. The judge was supposed to be fair, and we know that Caiaphas was anything but. There was no justice for Jesus from the rulers of Israel, yet he suffered all these humiliations, insults, and beatings for our sake. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, it says of the Lord Jesus Christ, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities," or sin. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed." God, our Heavenly Father, loved us so very much that he sent his one and only Son from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sins that we could never pay ourselves. Are we thankful for this? We certainly should be. If you've never asked the Lord Jesus to forgive your sin or have honored him as the greatest man who ever lived, now's the time to do so. Jesus truly showed his love and how great it is for each one of us. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, John, Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053, and the website bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.